How many would prefer to be speeded to your destiny as opposed to dying in the wilderness? You know, the Israelites never got to their destiny, the ones in the wilderness. They died there. God said, I have given you the promised land, but they never got it. Because they could never learn to trust God. Every time he tested them, they said, oh, we're going to die. And God says, what cheapers. You're picturing you're going to die. You're believing you're going to die. You're saying you're going to die. Guess what? You're going to die. Because you're picturing it, saying it, believing it. That's what you get. You know, and, you know, a spiritual advisor will catch that and say, Mark, excuse me, you're whining right now. You know, you really should be trusting God, you know. And I just gave this fine lady right here some good counsel, too, because she wasn't sure if she wanted to get depressed where she's at or excited. And I said, get excited, say, I have the victory, and go stomping for it. And if she can pick that up, which I believe you're going to do, you can get the victory, all right? So that's the purpose of a coach, you know, to get you out of a wallowing mire and to get you on the way of life, you know? So that's precious. That's priceless. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, it's different, and, yeah, I have to open my life up, but I would like to get to the promised land. I know a lot of people don't get to the promised land. I watch them. I mean, their marriages are not promised land, they're wrecks. Their finances are not promised land, they're wrecks. Their health is not a promised land health, it's a wreck. And I say, I want promised land in every one of those areas. Plus, I want a promised land ministry where I touch the world and transform it. And I can't get there if I don't have coaches and advisors. And I think we all want to get there. And I'm just saying you can fulfill your destiny if you can share your life with somebody. And if you can't, then you're probably not going to fulfill your destiny. Because safety is in a multitude of counselors, not in you keeping yourself private to yourself. Amen? Yeah. So say, I believe I'll be willing to share my life. And Lord, I ask you to help me in this. I want to move forward in this area. Show me who these people are. Bring them into my life. And let me be open to share my life with them. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Okay, good prayer. All right. Moving right along. Oh, here's Einstein. I want to know God's thoughts. The rest are details. The reason I have his posters in my office is because he's a man who took revelation knowledge to the streets. And that's one of my passions. I want to take revelation knowledge to the streets. And so he did it. He's an example to me. Okay, this next section we're going to skip. Can I skip it? Let's see. I have to. Yep, I have to. So this is on our website, so you can go ahead and just pull this off our website, the free articles, Biblical Meditation versus Study, what I would do in each of those 7 points to go move from one to the other. That's the website you already have. It's the free book section. You go there and you get all this stuff for free. Okay, biblical support. Now we're going back to whatever page it is, page 10. Page 10 of your seminar guide, biblical support for the concept that spontaneous ideas are the voice of the spirit realm. Number one, not all thoughts in your mind originate with you. I used to believe the thoughts in my head were my thoughts because it was my head. Yeah. Anybody ever held that view? Yeah, but how many know that's not really biblical? Because the Bible said we're a vessel. Tell me what the one function of a vessel is. To hold something. Who are we supposed to hold? Jesus, all right? And before we held Jesus, do you know who we held? The devil. Ephesians 2, 2 and 3 said we were by nature children of wrath and we had demons working in us. So I've always housed somebody, which means I'm hollow on the inside. A lot of what's in me is not me. It's the one I house. As a heathen, I used to house thoughts like, why don't you fear? Why don't you doubt? Why don't you lust? Why don't you not believe? Those weren't me. Those were spontaneous thoughts from demons. Now I house thoughts like, why don't you be pure? Why don't you have faith? Why don't you trust? Why don't you be gentle? Those still aren't me. It's the Holy Spirit within me. Okay? So much of what's in me is the one that fills me. That's why we take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, because some of the thoughts are coming from demons. Okay? And so it's a shift, again, in looking at how God built us. We are not self-contained units. We are hollow on the inside. The word paga, let's say it together. Paga. This is a Hebrew word in the Old Testament translated intercession. Literal definition of intercession is to strike or light upon by chance or an accidental intersecting. And I scratched my head and said, excuse me, God. I thought intercession, that's Paga is translated intercession. I said, I thought intercession is praying for people. So how in the world is intercession striking and lighting upon by chance? How is me interceding a chance encounter? And God said, Mark, when I call you to pray for a person, I send thoughts that strike and light up on you by chance. They actually intersect your thought process. It's actually my voice calling you to pray for the person. What's that?
For them to have an encounter as well.
For them to have an encounter also.
Yeah, because if you're praying for them, so you're intercession, so you're interceding for them, and then that chat, but what's going on by you is for them to have an encounter and a change in their situation.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. How many of you have had a chance encounter thought where a thought came to you to pray for somebody?
Yeah.
And how many felt that was the voice of the Holy Spirit?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So now I have a new confession. I say, I honor chance encounter thoughts. Want to say it? Say, I honor thoughts that accidentally intersect my thought process because they're coming from the Holy Spirit. Now, again, this was completely new for me because I used to say, chance encounter thoughts, get out of here, I'm busy thinking. So I would throw out the Holy Spirit, quench the Holy Spirit, because I was taught to do that by my culture. I was taught spontaneous thoughts were irrelevant, meaningless, nothing. I believe that. I honored the lie, I lived a lie, and I grieved the Holy Spirit. So now I have a new confession, I have a new belief, I have a new picture, I have a new lifestyle. Does a chance encounter thought sound to you like a spontaneous thought?
Yeah.
Or a flowing thought?
Yeah.
When I discovered Paga meant chance encounter, do you think I danced around my office and roared? Thank you, Jesus. What a powerful confirmation. This is a simple way to live. I can fix my eyes on Jesus, tune to flowing thoughts, and live my life naturally. This is spirituality. How many know this is simple? This is childlike. Anyone can do this. We don't make it hard at all. Religion makes everything hard. And Christianity is incredibly simple. All right? Okay. Say, I prefer simple. I've tried hard. It was no fun. Number three, there is a river inside of us. And the verse says, on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirst, let him come to me and what? Drink. And he who does what? Believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his what? Heart will flow rivers of living water. This he spoke concerning the what? Spirit. Okay, so according to that verse, if you want to tune to the Spirit, he feels like what? Feels like flow. Water which is flowing. Feels like flow. Take that word flow, underline it. So when I tune to flow, I am tuning to the Holy Spirit. Flowing thoughts, flowing pictures, flowing emotions. That is spirit stuff. Boy, that was a big revelation. And then somebody gave me a revelation on the rest of the verse. Here's the question that opens the door to that revelation. I say, how do I know for sure the flow within me is actually the Holy Spirit and not just something else? Would you like to know how to know it's the Holy Spirit? Well, there's two ways I can give you. One is you take your flow, your journaling, and you submit it to three people over you. And if they say it's the Holy Spirit, that is a confirmation that it really is God. But if you'd like a second way to know it's the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, I have four prerequisites in this verse. If you'll do these four prerequisites, the flow that comes out of you will be God. So what are the four prerequisites? Well, now let's go to this verse now for the four. Yeah, I know where you're going, but that's let's look at this verse. On the last day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone what?
Thirst.
So underline the word thirst. Put a number one near there, if you would. Because the first prerequisite to being anointed is you've got to say, I'm thirsty to be anointed. Let's say it together. I'm thirsty to be anointed. How many of you know not everybody in the world is thirsty to be anointed? Some people are really thrilled with their own brilliance. Okay? And God says, you got to get beyond yourself and say, I want something more than me in action here. Number two, let him come to me. Underline, come to me. Put a two somewhere near there. And requirement number two is we say, Jesus, I'm coming to you, and I'm asking you, Jesus, to anoint me. Say, I'm asking you, Jesus, to anoint me. See, we're not asking Buddha or Mohammed. We're asking Jesus to anoint us, all right? Come to me and what?
Drink.
Underline drink. Put a three somewhere near there. And what does that mean? Well, when I drink, there's a flow of liquid that goes into my system. So I'm saying, and I tune to flow. Let's say it together. I tune to flow. All right? So I've said three things. I said, I would like to be anointed. Jesus, I'm asking you to anoint me. I'm tuning to flow. And, number four, he who what?
Believes
in me. Underline believes in me. Put a four somewhere there and an arrow near. And I believe that the flow within me is you. Say, I believe the flow within me is the river of God. Because if I'm sitting there tuned to journaling and I'm writing in, tuned to pictures, and I'm saying, I don't think I believe this all, do you think it's going to release the anointing of God into you?
No.
You've got to take a step of faith and walk on the water and say, I really do believe there really is a river that flows from the throne of God, and it really does flow through my heart, and it's in me, and it's flowing out through me, and I believe it's true. I believe the Bible's true in me. It's a section of the Bible that you believe that's true in you that makes a difference. I can believe it's theoretically true, or I can say, it's true in me. And how many know it's a section that you say that's true in you that makes a difference? Okay? So if you do those four things, all right, then he says something's going to happen. He says, out of his heart might flow a river of living water. Will. Take the word will, put a box around it. And tell me, is will a guarantee?
Yes.
Given by who?
God.
God, can you bank on it?
Yes.
If the Bible's correct, you can. Is the Bible true?
Yeah.
I believe it's true. So when Satan says, I don't think so, I say, go to a warmer climate. I say, I choose to be a believer that the Bible's true in me, period. And if you live there, you get to be anointed. So he gives you a guarantee. He says, I'll tell you what, I'll guarantee the flow within you will be me if you posture yourself right.
Yeah, good.
Isn't that neat?
Yeah.
So all I got to do is do the posture. First step of the posture is what?
Confess.
Lord, I want to be anointed. Second step is? Jesus, please anoint me. Third step is? I'm going to tune to flow. And the fourth step is? I'm going to believe that flow within me is the river of God. That's pretty simple. How many know children could actually do this? How many know seminary education is not necessary to be anointed if it's this way? Amen? How many know seminary education could get in the way if it's not the proper kind of education? All right? Okay. All right. So you're getting the proper kind of education because you came to a good school. Amen?
Yes.
Yay for revival fires. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Get it the right. All right. Number four. The word Naba. Let's say it together.
Naba.
Naba. It is a Hebrew word for prophecy. It's actually a large word that includes both true and false prophecy. There's a specialized word for false prophecy. But this does include both. So the word Naba, literal definition of Naba is to do what?
Bubble up.
Question, folks. Does bubble up sound to anybody like spontaneity or flow? When I discovered Naba meant bubble up, do you think I danced, shouted, and roared? I said, God, this is a fantastic confirmation that I can tune to bubbling thoughts and bubbling pictures, and it's really God. If being prophetic is as simple as fixing your eyes on Jesus and tuning to the flow of what's bubbling, how many know everybody can be prophetic? You can look at a person and tune to flow and say, Jesus, what do you want to say? And some flowing thoughts come and you share them with a person. And it's a prophecy.
Yeah.
Well, that's simple. And we can all do that. And children can do it effortlessly. You can teach this in Sunday school, and the kids will do it effortlessly. And you can have them prophesy over each other. They will do it effortlessly because they don't have their brains in their way yet, mucking them up. So by all means, do that. Mm-hmm. And we do have children's and teen versions of this course, How to Hear God's Voice, written by two other people. All right, the children's version is for 5 to 8-year-olds, just a beautiful color book almost. It's 4 keys to hearing God's voice, gets all the kids hearing the voice of God, drawing pictures, and sharing what God is doing. So it's a fabulous book. It's on our website. You'll find it there. Teen version is entitled How to Hear God's Voice for Teens. So that's from like 8 to 14. Okay, so might just well teach the kids so they don't get mucked up for a bunch of years and then have to learn as adults. Amen? All right, the word for false prophecy is Zayed. Let's say it together.
Zayed.
Literal definition is to do what? Boil up. So he boils up his prophecy, cooks it up, fixes his eyes on his own desires, devises a word or vision. God said, don't cook it up. He said, if you have to stand before a king, he said, don't figure out ahead of time what you're going to say. Did he say that?
Mm.
He did say that. I said, that's ridiculous advice. I said, God, excuse me, you gave me a brilliant brain and you're telling me not to use it. What's wrong with you anyway? Don't you know there's a verse in the Bible that says God gave you a brain, you're supposed to use it? That's in 2 Mark 3:11. That's where that verse is, all right? So I say, excuse me, you don't want me to think ahead of time what I'm supposed to do before I come before a king? What should I do? Because I'm going to stand in front of a group and talk in a few minutes. So if I'm not going to figure out ahead of time what I'm going to say, what am I supposed to do? He said, do the 4 things that I suggested if you want to be anointed. And I say, okay, God, I need to be anointed in 20 minutes. Jesus, would you please anoint me? And I'm going to tune to flow, and I'm going to believe that the river within me is going to flow out. He says, that's how you prepare for anything. Standing before a king, standing before a class, whatever you're doing, working on the job, that is, as far as I'm concerned, that's the only posture in life to take. There is no other posture. What other posture would I take? I can do this. If I took that posture, I got to resurrect myself instead of dying daily. I said, I'm alive today, and I'm going to do something. Well, that's a demonic posture. That's truly unbiblical. I'm not going to do that. The only posture that it would ever take, any of us would take, is that. Jesus, I need to be anointed. I'm asking you to anoint me. I tune to flow, and I live naturally. That is the only posture. It's called abiding in Christ.
It could be my translation. But in the context, doesn't it talk about do not neglect good planning and insight? Things like that.
It might, but if you're going to do good planning and insight, well, does insight come from my reasoning, or does insight come from revelation knowledge?
Revelation.
I would say insight's revelation knowledge, and I would say good planning includes the Holy Spirit guiding the reasoning process. Because if I think good planning is me thinking, I think that's a desecration. Good planning is me saying, Holy Spirit, would you anoint my reasoning as I consider the future? Okay.
So you're not saying don't plan anything in advance. You're not saying don't prepare anything in advance.
Right. I'm just saying what? What am I saying?
Let your preparations be anointed.
Yeah. Let Jesus be a part of the preparation process. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's not that I haven't thought about what I'm going to teach. I mean, you have a seminar guide, so we do have some preparation here, right?
Yeah.
But we ask the Holy Spirit to help put the seminar together. Guide together, and if we decide we're going to skip a few sections, we do. That's okay. All right? Because we can't cover everything all the time because, time restraints.
My oldest child was born 7 years ago, and I found it ever so helpful in trying to relate with God, to think about my relationship with the littler people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering, say, now, say they prepared something, written, drawn, whatever.
Your seven-year-old? Who?
Sorry, I've got a 7, 5, and a 3.
Who prepared something?
Say they did.
One of the kids.
These girls. And they wanted to stage it or show a group in my house it.
Mm-hmm.
It would bless me, their dad, so much if they sort of came along to me and said, is now a good time, Dad, or can we just have a word of about this.
Mm-hmm.
I think I can see that's
yeah
similar.
and perhaps yes, and perhaps even saying, was there doing the preparation, getting some of your input along the way might even be helpful, because maybe you could help them coach them. You'd love to coach them, and if you coach them, they may end up with a better final product than if they did it all on their own. And God would love to coach us. I looked up every verse on reason, and here's the only command to reason in the whole Bible. It's Isaiah 1:18. Come, let us reason together. That is the only command to reason. And God says, I don't mind you reasoning as long as I'm in the mix. So together, come, let us reason together. So how do I put God in the mix? I allow flow to guide the reasoning process. I fix my eyes on Jesus, say, Lord, would you anoint my reasoning process? And I tune to flow as I reason, and flow guides it. And now I'm reasoning together with God, as opposed to saying, God gave me a brain, I think I'll figure this out, which is me reasoning alone by myself. So it's an inner posture, all right? And when God reasons, look how he does it. Though your sins be as scarlet, I'm going to make them what? White as snow. Would you tell me what scarlet and white as snow is? It's visual. Which hemisphere of the brain is he going to when he reasons? Visual is which side? Right. And for the Westerner reason, if I was going to say, come, let us reason together, we'd probably think we should go to which hemisphere? The left. And God, when he wants to reason, he says, come on, let's go use the whole brain.
Yeah, that's good.
Isn't that interesting? So either he doesn't know how to reason properly, or I don't. One of the two. How many vote for him not knowing how to reason properly? How many vote for me not knowing how to reason properly? One of us ought to adjust. So if I'm going to reason, I have to always make sure I'm reasoning with pictures in my mind. How many pictures? One or two. Though your sins be as scarlet is one picture. It's a picture of my need. I'm going to make them white as snow, which is a second picture, which is a picture of God's provision. So if I want to reason, I need to have two pictures back to back, my need and God's provision. So if I'm going to reason together with you today, I'd probably want to reason with two pictures in the back of my mind. One is, where are you at? And the other is, where does God want to take you? And if I've got those, and here's where I think you're at, I think most of us have been trapped in rationalism. We've had 800 years of it, and we'd like to get free. You're hungry to get free. That's why you're at Revival Fire School, right? And where does God want to take you? He wants to take you into freedom. He wants to give you a platform that you can build on so you can go someplace. And so those are the two pictures in the back of my mind. And as I talk, I got those two pictures there. And if I'm talking from two pictures, am I talking from the left or right side of my brain? The right side, all right? And if I can speak from the right side of my brain, on the right side is intuition and flow. That means I can be in flow while I talk. How many know being in flow while you talk helps? Makes it better. And you and I can be in flow if we talk with pictures in the back of our mind. Two pictures. Where the group is at, Lord, show me where they're at, and Lord, show me where you want to take them. You hold those two pictures and you speak, and you'll be speaking from flow. Do you think I like knowing that? As a public speaker, I love knowing that, because then I can speak from flow all the time, because I know the inner dynamics that have to happen to make it happen. Watchman Nee was the first one to teach me this. In his book, The Ministry of the Word, here's what he said. He said, have you ever prepared your sermon on a Friday night and you've had the whole thing livid within you with passion and fire, and there was no congregation to preach it to, so you rolled it all out in detail to make sure it'd be there for Sunday morning? You look at your notes Sunday morning and they're dead. It's black and white information. There's no fire, no passion. And you say, how do I get the passion back? He said, if you'll go back and look at the picture you were looking at Friday night, it'll bring all the passion and fire back that you had Friday night. Because emotion is right brain, picture is right brain, and flow is right brain. So if I see the picture, I get the emotion and the passion and the fire. Do you think I like knowing that? I love knowing that, because if I can teach with pictures, I can teach with passion and flow. And if I can, it's dry and dead. So I love Watchman Nee for that. That's one thing he gave me that was very helpful. Most of the rest of the time, I was just very frustrated with him, because he's a right-brainer, and he talks about right-brain phenomenon from a right-brain perspective. And as a left-brainer, I couldn't get it. I said, I agree what you're saying, but I don't know how to step into what you're saying. And so it drove me insane, you know. So I mostly hate him, but for that particular thing, I do like him a lot, okay? I forgive and release and bless them for being a right-brainer. It's okay, all right? So he can minister to right-brain people, but left-brain people, he kind of leaves them cold, okay? At least he did me. All right. So there we go. Questions? Good? So let me think. I think we want to say, let's say this. I choose to honor, bubbling thoughts. Because they're coming from the river. And I choose to honor the river. It's better than me. It's God in me. And I choose to live out of God in me. Amen. Okay. And the next point would be, let's see. We're a temple. We actually house the Holy Spirit. Much of what's in us is not us. It's the one that we house. We've already covered that. Number six, our spirit is fused to the Holy Spirit. The one who joins himself to the Lord is how many spirits with him?
One.
Not two, because people say, you know what? Well, I'm not really sure if this came from like my spirit or the Holy Spirit. I say, guess what? There's not two down there. There's one. It's like taking hot water and a tea bag. You put them together, you have a brand new substance called tea water. Inside of you is a brand new substance called the Christ eye. Say, I am joined to Almighty God. I am one with him. My spirit is in union with his spirit. I am pure gold at the core of my being. Hallelujah. You got to see something and believe something. I used to believe I was a filthy wretch and I had a deceitful heart. God said, no, 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 you're pure gold. You're joined to me. Because if you believe you're a filthy wretch and got a deceitful heart, how many of you know that's what you get? You get what you believe. So you make sure that you believe what the Bible tells you to believe so you can release God and not self in life or Satan. Amen? We're a branch grafted into a vine. He's the vine. We're the branch. There's a flow of sap into the vine. Does the branch have to crank up the flow of sap in the morning, or does it happen naturally? Do you and I have to crank up the anointing of the Holy Spirit, or does he happen naturally? naturally after 2 cups of coffee, 1 hour of prayer, and 1 hour of Bible study. Actually, how many find that there's a flowing song going through your song? Sometimes you just wake up in the morning before you've even had your Bible study or your cup of coffee. Now, that flowing song, where'd that come from? See, I didn't know where it came from because I didn't know anything about flow years ago. So I'd listen to it and say, huh, that's an interesting song, but you know what? I'd rather sing a rowdy praise song. So I toss it out the window and sing a rowdy praise song. What have I just done? Grieved the Holy Spirit, gone back to Mark Berkler in action. But now that I know that flow is the river of God, I say, huh, what's the words of that song I'm singing? If it's Lord, I love you, I sing it as a worship song. It's my prayer to God. If it's Lord, I need you, then I sing that as a song saying, God, please give me grace. If the words are, please wash over my sin, I say, whoops, I got some unconfessed sin here. And I say, okay, Lord, where's the unconfessed sin? He shows me, I say, ooh, I need to repent of that. Okay, so I'm instantly in the Spirit without having to do any religious activity. Do you like that? It is so much easier than working up a lather, you know, to become spiritual, which I used to do because I didn't know how to get there any other way. All right? Okay. The other support for the concept that spontaneous ideas are the voice of the spirit realm, creative flashes, we've already mentioned that. You've had a brilliant idea go through your mind, and that really came from God. And if you can stay humble, you can have brilliant ideas all the time. Number 2, a destructive flash, you're in prayer, something truly putrid drops right in the middle of your prayer life, and think, oh my gosh, what a wicked sinner. And you back slowly out of your prayer closet, hoping God doesn't kill you on the way out, saying, that was really close. And Satan's rubbing his hands with glee, saying, praise God. No, he's not saying praise God, but he's really happy he messed up your prayer life, because who gave you the spontaneous putrid thought?
Satan.
A demon did. Do I take credit for spontaneous putrid? No more than I take credit for spontaneous brilliance. I am one through whom another flows. Spontaneous putrid I give to demons. Spontaneous good I give to the Holy Spirit. Analytical I take credit for. Okay? All right. All right. Okay. Spontaneous thoughts, they're like your own thoughts, except that they're spontaneous, not analytical. Now, when I say they're like your own thoughts, that means as you're sitting there journaling, you may notice, hey, it's my personality in that journaling. And it's my vocabulary in that journaling. And it's my educational level in the journaling. So therefore, I think it's just me. Okay? Now, question. In the Gospel of Mark, is Mark's personality and his educational level, and is it in the Gospel of Mark?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In the Gospel of John, is John's personality and his educational level in the Gospel of John? Does that mean it was just Mark and just John writing? No, it was the Christ Mark and the Christ John. So when you see your personality in it, don't just say, oh, it's just me. Say, this is the wonder of Christianity. Mm-hmm. God joined to me, flowing out through me as a particular fragrant aroma to the world. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jesus. Amen?
Amen?
So get excited, don't get depressed. Amen?
Yes.
Amen. Number 2, they'll come easy as God speaking in the first person. He'll call you by name. All right? Number 3, they're very light and gentle, easily cut off by any exertion of your own thoughts. How many know that you can go back to reason anytime you choose to? And when I first began the journal, I would sometimes go back to reason because I was trained to be a thinker. It came natural. And I'd get partway through a paragraph and say, Mark, you don't have your eyes on Jesus. You're not tuned to flow. You got your eyes in your last sermon outline, and you're thinking and you're writing. So I'd stop, fix my eyes back on Jesus, tune back to flow, pick up the flow, and I found his flow was actually better than my last sermon outline, so I used what he said the next time I preached that sermon, okay? But how many know you can tell the difference between reason and flow? Okay? All right. Number 4. Whoops. They're going to have an unusual content. They're going to be wiser, more loving, more motive-oriented than your thoughts. It'll help convince you your journaling came from God. Number 5. It will cause a special reaction within you, a sense of excitement, conviction, life, awe, faith, and peace. That's assuming that as you journal, you believe it's coming from God. If as you journal you're saying, I'm doubting the whole experience, do you think it'll produce life on peace? No, it'll produce anger and frustration towards God and Mark Berkler and Communion with God ministry. So take a step of faith and say, I'm going to be a believer for 5 minutes while I write. And if you do, then you can have life, faith, awe, and peace. Number 6, when you embrace these thoughts, they carry with them the fullness of strength to carry them out and a joy in doing so. Yeah, because Satan says, you know what? You can't do this. And God says, yeah, you can do all things through Christ, you know? And Satan says, well, you know, if you give your life completely to God, he's going to, you know, send you to Africa. You live in a mud hut, you know, naked with the pygmies and, you know, bathe, you know, it'll be terrible, you know? Well, how many of you know if God asks you to do something difficult, he's going to give you a love for it?
Yeah.
He's going to change your desire so you enjoy doing that. It will not be miserable. And if it is miserable, you ask, well, God, will you circumcise my heart and give me a love for this? And he will. And I say, no, not that quick. I didn't mean it that fast, but he will, if you ask him to circumcise your heart, he's really good at doing that. And he will change your heart very quickly. Okay? People say, well, I could never change my diet. I say, well, sure you could. All you have to do is ask God to give you a desire for different food. He can and he will. I say, yeah, but I don't want to desire different food. I love what I'm eating. Well, that's good if it's producing health in you, but if it's damaging your health, then why not put in something that will nourish the body so you can fulfill your destiny and not blow out at, 50 years of age or something. I was blown out at 40. I had arthritis, I had low energy, and now I'm 56. I'm fine, no pain and great energy. But I'm doing something different in my diet than I was at 40, okay? So God will give you a joy if you just ask him for it, all right? So I don't like heavy Christianity that says your life is going to be painful and miserable if you follow Jesus. That's not true at all, not at all true, okay? Number 7, spiritual senses are trained as time goes on. It is easier. Would you agree that anything you practice becomes simpler? So if journaling's a little bit difficult and awkward today and yesterday, and you practice it for the next couple of months, what do you know it'll be true 2 months from now? Yeah. It'll be effortless. Yeah. I had a guy, pastor, I went to Ohio, taught Community of God at his church. A year later, I go back to teach another course. We're driving down the road in the car together. He said, Mark, I tried journaling, it didn't work for me. And I said, well, tell me about it, because I'm a fix-it guy, I like to fix things. He said, well, I tried journaling once, it didn't work, so I quit. I said, you tried it once? He said, yep. I said, you quit? He said, yep. I just shot him. I figured, put the guy out of his misery. He's a sick puppy anyway, all right? So I didn't really shoot him. That was a joke. Okay, you could laugh if you want to, but you didn't. So whatever. I said to him, I said, that would be like saying, I'm going to try basketball. You throw for the hoop, and you miss and say, man, basketball's not for me. I said, would that be ridiculous? He said, yep. I said, well, what you did was very ridiculous. You don't try anything once if it's biblical, and you say it's awkward and quit. If it's biblical, you press in until it becomes natural. He said, yeah, you're right. I said, good. So he tried journaling the second time and said, oh, it worked the second time. I said, yeah, exactly. All right. So say this with me. If it's biblical, I will press in until it's natural. And I will not quit if it's awkward the first couple of times. Amen. All right. And God is speaking to us all the time. We do hear his voice. Yeah. We've just grouped all the thoughts together, thought they were all ours, and I'm just saying separate them apart into three categories. That's all I'm saying. And if you want to put those three categories down, you're going to need extra paper. On page 12, you got it. What you can do on page 12, would you see where my finger is? Three quarters of the way down the page. Would you begin to write three quarters of the way down the page and leave the top section for journaling, because we're going to journal in just a moment. And I'm just going to give you one quarter stuff that will fill the bottom quarter of the page. And here's what you want to write down. Three categories of thoughts, and I would like you to sort out in your own thinking three different categories of thoughts within you. Category 1 is going to be spontaneous, positive thoughts. Where would you want to suspect that a spontaneous, positive thought comes from? Holy Spirit. So would you put down equals Holy Spirit? And if I have a spontaneous positive thought, I assume it comes from the Holy Spirit. Then would you skip a line, leave a blank line on your sheet of paper, and after the blank line would you put number 2, which is going to be spontaneous negative thoughts. Where do you suspect a spontaneous negative thought comes from? From a demon. So we'll just put equals demons. Okay? Equals demons. And then if you would skip a line, and put a number 3. Number 3 is going to be analytical thoughts. Where do you suspect an analytical thought comes from? Self. So put equals self. So out of those three categories of thoughts, which of the three categories do you think I'd like to allow in my mind? Category 1. I don't really want category 2. I don't need demons. I've already tried them. They were no fun. And I don't really need myself, because his thoughts are wiser than my thoughts. So I'd much rather have him than me in action. So I only allow category 1 inside of me. I do not allow category 2 or 3. And I haven't for many years. Now we left a line blank, so let's go back and fill the line in. We're going to define each one in a little bit more detail. Before you write, let me just say something. We're going to say a spontaneous positive thought would be any spontaneous thought that lines up with the name of the Holy Spirit. Would you give me a few names of the Holy Spirit, and you can jot those in on that blank line under number one.
Comforter.
He is a comforter. So a spontaneous, comforting thought, I assume, comes from the comforter. What else?
Counselor.
He's a counselor. So a spontaneous counseling thought, I'm assuming, comes from the counselor.
Encourager.
He's an encourager. He's a teacher. He's a giver of life. So any spontaneous thought that's encouraging and gives life, that teaches, that edifies, I'm going to assume comes from the Holy Spirit. Now let's go to category two, and we're going to say a spontaneous negative thought is any spontaneous thought that lines up with the name of Satan. Give me a few names of Satan.
Liar.
He's a liar. He's a destroyer. He's he brings confusion. He's a thief who brings death. All right? Do we say accuser? He's an accuser. He's an adversary. Any accusative, adversarial thought that brings death to me, that destroys my faith, hope, and love, I'm assuming comes from Satan, a demon. So, for example, how about this for a spontaneous thought? You're never going to change. What kind of a thought is that?
Negative.
It's negative. Is it a lie?
It is.
Is it accusative?
Yeah.
Condemnatory?
Yeah.
Where'd it come from? A demon. So what do I say? I say this. Say this after me. In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I bind that demon.
I bind that demon.
I command you to leave in Jesus' name.
I command you to leave in the name of Jesus.
How about this? If God really loved you, he'd never let that happen. What kind of a thought is that?
Demon.
It's a demon because it's a lie. It's accusative. It's condemnatory. It steals my faith, hope, and love. So what do I say? I say this. Say it after me. In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I bind that demon. I command you to leave in Jesus' name. How about this? If you love God, you'd have never done that. What kind of a thought is that?
Negative.
It's a lie. It's accusative. It's condemnatory. It came from a demon. So we say it right together with me. In the name of Jesus, I bind that demon. I command it to leave in Jesus' name. One more. All politicians are evil. True or a lie? Up for grabs, I understand. Okay. No, it's actually a lie, right? Because God's a politician. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That makes him politically active. So I need to say this after me. Say it right with me. In the name of Jesus, I bind that demon. I command it to be gone. In Jesus' name. Because if I don't say that, and I think, oh yes, all politicians are evil, and wickedness is so powerful, and I am so weak, so I'm going to hide in a cave and hope for the rapture. You know, I'm going to go right to discouragement if I accept the lie, because the lies are going to bring negative emotions. So I can't accept a lie inside of me, because I've already tried negative emotions. They were the pits, all right? So I'm not going to do that anymore. Okay, and then analytical thoughts. If you want to, an example of that, you could underneath there write connected thoughts. Connected thoughts. 2 + 2 = 4. Yeah, connected thinking. You say, isn't 2 + 2 actually 4? I mean, how come you reject that? Because I said I was just going to go with category 1. Well, you know, 2 + 2 is only 4 in one math system. It's not 4 in modern math. It's not 4 in binary math. It's only in one little sliver of reality would 2 + 2 actually be 4. So only in a very limited perspective would that be true. Okay, now we get the journal. Okay, so we're going to go to the top of page 12. And if any of you prefer getting out of your chairs and sitting your lane on the floor, you're welcome to hop up now and grab some floor space here in the room, any place you want. Is it warm in here or is it just me? It is. Huh? It's cold. Okay, praise God. Okay. I'm sure it's just perfect. All right, everybody comfortable? So if you want floor space, now's your time to go grab some, all right? And I'm going to lead us in a journaling time, okay? I'll paint a scene. We'll go for a walk with Jesus. I'm going to coach you right through this. There's a lot of floor space over here, so if anyone wants floor space, feel free to come help yourself, all right? The key thing is to get comfortable, whatever works for you to be comfortable. Okay, on the top of page 12... we're going to take 5 or 10 minutes to complete the journaling exercise below. We're going to write down a question we'd like to ask the Lord. It can be any question you choose. as long as it's not one of the most traumatic questions of your life, because the Bible does not say be traumatized and know that I'm God. It says be still and know that I'm God. So don't ask him when the end of the world is coming or who the Antichrist is or who you're going to marry. Save those till I have fled back to Buffalo. Then you can ask Sharon and Trevor, and they will help you with those questions, all right? And Paul. Amen. Okay, so we don't want you to be uptight, because the Bible doesn't say be uptight and know that I'm God. It says be still and know that I'm God. So here's three non-traumatic questions in the middle of the paragraph. You could ask him, Lord, do you love me? Now, any of these questions you want to ask, just underline them. Or you could say, Lord, how do you see me? Or you could say, Lord, what would you like to say to me? So why don't you underline the question you'd like to ask the Lord? Lord, do you love me? Lord, how do you see me? Lord, what would you like to say to me? And I would like to lead us in a prayer time. Holy Spirit, we just thank you that you are present here with us in this room. Thank you that you're never far away, that you're Emmanuel, God with us. We thank you that you're the very breath that we breathe, the very life that we live, and we honor you in our midst as the teacher of our hearts, the convictor of our hearts, the illuminator of our minds. Holy Spirit, you are the one who grants us access before the throne of grace. And so, Holy Spirit, right now we ask that you would anoint the eyes of our heart that we might see Jesus. We ask that you would anoint our ears that we might hear him. And we thank you for the work that you do in our midst. In Jesus' name. I'd like you to see a picture in your mind of you and Jesus walking together along the Sea of Galilee on a very beautiful, warm summer day. And as you walk along the seashore, you can see the hillside of Galilee that flows down to the shore. It's covered with green grass. It's blowing gently in the breeze. As you look out across the surface of the water, you can see the shimmering surface with the sun dancing and reflecting off from it. And way out in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, you can see a fisherman in a boat just spending some time alone with his Creator. And as you look up into the sky, you can see a soft blue sky and some soft white clouds drifting lazily by. You can feel the sun warming you all the way through as you walk along with Jesus. You can feel a gentle warm breeze blowing against your back. And as you look over at Jesus, you can see his long flowing white robes and the sandals on his feet and the gentleness of his heart and the smile on his lips. You can feel his love just reaching out and surrounding you like a cocoon. And you might find that you put your hand in his hand as you're there with him. And you might even become a small child. And if that happens, that's fine. I'd like you to put a big smile on your face and just say, thank you, God, for being here. And now we're just going to take our hands off the picture. And Holy Spirit, we invite you to take it over. Mm-hmm. Just tune to flow and watch what Jesus does with you for a moment. As you're there with Jesus, I'd I'd like you to ask him the question that you've underlined. Just say, Jesus, what about this? And then just fix your eyes upon Jesus. And tune to spontaneity. And just begin to write down the spontaneous flow of thoughts that are coming from Jesus. I'm going to ask you to write in childlike faith for the next 5 to 7 minutes, and then we'll test it later on. And Lord, we thank you for what you speak to us, in Jesus' name. I'm going to leave you alone with Jesus just to write. You're welcome to stay where you are if you want. Want to ask a couple questions? If you were able to write down something you felt may have come from God, would you say amen? That's good. What I'd like us to do is to break into groups of two and just share some of our experience with each other. If your journey is not too personal and too private and you're able to read it to a person, I'd like you to do that. And not paraphrase it, but just simply read the question you ask and what he said back. And if you're listening to someone share their journaling and you feel in your heart it's God, tell them that. Say, my heart bears witness, that's the Spirit of Christ. And build up their faith. And then you share your journey back with them. If your journey is too personal and private, just tell a person that and let them share theirs with you. And you can share something that spoke to you from the session here. That's fine too. But if you can share your journaling, it's good to share your journaling. So find somebody who looks friendly. Smile. Tell them you're friendly. Move around if you have to find a friendly person. That'll be all right. And I'll give you about 4 or 5 minutes in groups of two.